Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Vlad Harris with our Panther Rants podcast. It's Friday. I'm running late to work. In fact, it's like 8:45 here. You know, my kids, I got two, one in fourth, one in first. And basically, there was these forms to win at, I guess, to order shirts for the field trips. Not field trips, I'm sorry, field days. Because, you know, they had that day where all the kids, I guess, they had those teams, and they play all those games and stuff. My son went to it last year, obviously, because that's, you know, they're supposed to go. And I remember he took his own money with him to the field day. I mean, he took $20 with him. And, you know, it was a third, you know, at the time I realized he took that much money. I think I gave him $5. And he took 20 from his, I guess, Christmas stash that he had. And I always tell him, I'm like, never, I said, with kids, I was like, you never hope, never show your money to anybody. Don't brag about it. Because there's always going to be somebody that's going to take money from you, or they're going to ask you for a dollar. And then if you give them a dollar, you get about 5 or 10 other kids that want money from you too. So it's a domino effect, so you want to avoid any of that. He had himself quite a day at the field day. He, you know, he bought himself lunch. I mean, he bought pizza. He bought snow cones. He bought cotton candy. He bought a whole bunch of crap, basically. I mean, he had himself a freaking, other than the activities, he had himself a freaking day. I mean, it was astounding. But at least, you know, they let you buy what you want. I remember when I had field day, we had a supposed cookout when I was in grade school. And it was supposedly hot dogs and chips. You got like a little ass hot dog and you got 25 cent bag of chips. And I'm surprised a lot of us didn't freaking faint that day. Because, you know, at fourth grade myself, I could eat two hot dogs myself at that time. Especially two little ones, because they didn't have the bun length ones back at that time. They were making them bun length. They were smaller. So it's like you have mostly, you know, 60% bread and 40% meat. But anyways, back to the original thing here. So, you know, I filled out my daughter's field day order shirt form. And I asked my son all week if he got one, because I didn't see one in his backpack or in his folders. And this morning we're walking to the school. He goes, "Oh yeah, Dad, by the way, I did get one of those. I just didn't tell you." Gee, really? We're about to walk into school now. It's not you. You have one? Naturally, he can't find it. He don't know what the hell he do with it. He meant to give it to me, but Lord knows what happened to it. You know, it's just basically typical, you know, typical kid stuff. And so I had to leave and get $10 cash, because I don't carry cash on me hardly. Although I probably should start carrying something on me. And, you know, got the form and filled it out for him and sent it back. And now here I am. And the amazing part is, you know, I think I left school around 7:30, 7:40. I probably wouldn't have gotten to work till about 9 o'clock. So it's 8:45 now. I'll probably get to work maybe 20 minutes late overall, because that's why Houston traffic is. It dies after a certain period. Anyways, let's get back to some other hot topics. Let's see, Pitt recruiting. They rounded out their class. And, they finished out at the 40s and 50s, depending on what recruiting service you like so much. The reality is they finished, 52, I think is what it was. Yeah, 52. And a lot of people aren't happy with this. And, a lot of articles out there about the kids they took are pretty much projects. And, for the most part, when your class is 52nd in the nation, majority of your kids are going to be projects. Or they're guys you're just going to have to develop over time. Now, I'm sure some decent prospects. But as Pat Narduzzi said, he recruits character. And character always wins, goddammit. So, the hell with the damn stars. We got character. Tons of it. And that wins. See, character won the ACC Coastal Division this past year. It wasn't star rankings. It was character. And they won the damn thing. And they played Clemson in the ACC title game. Unfortunately, character just didn't beat Clemson. Clemson had a lot more character than we did. Because Dabo Swinney is all about character himself. So, Clemson had a lot more character than we did that day. And that's what's going to get us, to the forefront here as we get back to, if we want to get back to this title game, it's the character, guys. It's not about agility, speed, your 40 time, how many tackles you had in high school, how many positions you played. It's character. And yeah, character to a degree is important because, you don't want a kid who's been suspended so many times, or maybe already has a rap sheet on him. Or he's just a complete, or maybe he has, snobby parents, and, because of that, he's a real douchebag. I mean, you'll have that. Yeah, it's, obviously, this type of recruiting is more 8-5, 7-6 type of stuff. But it depends on who Pitt schedules. I mean, if they can adapt the way that Syracuse and other beat Boston College and other ACC teams scheduled, Pitt could be a win 10 games easily. It's not going to help, it's not going to attract bigger names. It just is what it is. And if you look at the, Pitt's obviously lost out a lot of the local kids that were worthy of Power 5 offers, and they've gone elsewhere, and that happens. And all these kids want to stay in Pittsburgh, and at the same time, we haven't really given them a reason to stay in Pittsburgh. See, Pat Narduzzi said that he wants recruits that love Pittsburgh. Well, here's the thing. The kids that left, went elsewhere, the Penn State, Ohio State, or Michigan, or whoever. Kentucky. How in the hell do you lose a kid to Kentucky? I mean, I know they just had a nice little season, but they're still Kentucky. Is it because they beat Penn State in a bowl game? Is that why? I mean, it's hard to believe we lost a kid to Kentucky. I mean, for God's sakes, Bill Stahl was a commit to Kentucky. Then Dave Wonstadt came in and said, "Dude, why the hell are you going to Kentucky? Come to Pitt." And soon enough, Bill Stahl came to Pitt. But if you watch Bill play, you can see why Walt never really offered the kid a scholarship. Pressed him to come to Pitt. It's because Bill, obviously wasn't going to fit Walt's system. He's just not the type of player that Walt would have. I mean, Walt pretty much wouldn't really play him at all. But Bill, to his credit, you know, he had a halfway decent career pit. I mean, he had a good win-loss record, that's for sure. And, you know, he had a really good senior year. It just, fortunately, he almost delivered a BCS, you know, bid to us. It just didn't work out. So, yeah, these kids can still love Pittsburgh, but we got to give them a reason to stay. We haven't yet, and that's the problem. So until we do,
they're going to keep going elsewhere, and it's been real frequent. And supposedly, I guess, Pitt's probably not kissing their ass as much. And, yeah, recruiting the Whipple is a crapshoot because you can kiss these local kids' asses so much, but they'll still go elsewhere. So, I mean, I remember during the Walt Harris years, towards, you know, later in his tenure, he started recruiting other territories a lot more, like Ohio and Florida. He had some success. And, of course, when that happened, all the local coaches got all pissed off because, you know, Walt, God forbid, was ignoring their players. How dare you go outside of the territory and recruit other players? You got to recruit the Whipple, man. And that's what Dave Wunstead did when he first came in here. He recruited the hell out of the Whipple. And some players panned out, some didn't. I mean, there was some talent at that time, and, you know, a lot of these kids turned out to be good college players. But if you look at the demographic of the geography location of all these players, and they're from all, you know, they're all from all over: Pennsylvania, Maryland, New Jersey, Florida, I believe Ohio too. And I mean, the class is pretty much, it seems like as I look at it, it's very even. Obviously, the one player stands out is Davis Bevel. He's the quarterback that hopefully is going to maybe come in and push some of these other guys to do their job. But Pitt obviously ranked 12th in the ACC, or 10th, depending on where, you know, what recruiting service you use. Either way, it's not really good. Or maybe the ACC is that loaded of a league. The 12th in the ACC gets you maybe like third in the Big Ten, maybe. Who knows? Beauty is the eye of the beholder. Obviously, another guy is A.J. Woods. It's a Maryland kid. He's another one. I mean, there's a handful of these guys. And I'll get more in depth with them. Next week we'll break it down a lot deeper. But obviously one of the players that announced, MJ Devonshire, you know Pat Arduzzi, I guess, he tweeted this Devonshire Street thing out, and you know, recruiting the sign day came, and I said, well, I guess Pat probably isn't going to I guess he's not going to order the turkey Devonshire for lunch today. And you know, but obviously the big controversy here is that MJ Devonshire, as he was announcing his commitment to Kentucky, Pat Narduzzi tweeted out the recruiting class and said, oh, this is a wrap, we're done, have a good one. And some people took obviously offense to it, as people do. And I get it. I mean, there's been times where Pat Narduzzi's ruined my life. I mean, I think one day I took a colossal shit, and it was so great. I was reminiscing, and Pat Narduzzi, well, he tweeted something out positive, and it got a whole bunch of retweets, and here I was on the toilet, pissed off because my moment of reminiscence was taken away. I'm sure if I dig through, like the Pat Narduzzi wasn't around. Well, he was around. I mean, he was Coach Ellis when my youngest was born. Maybe I can find a tweet where he tweeted something. It took away from that moment my child was born. Really? So, here's the thing. If Pat Narduzzi wanted to take this kid's moment away from him, he'd have walked into the kid's recruiting ceremony or announce whatever. Took his shirt off, pinched his nipples at the camera, and ran and walked away. Or he would have done a Kanye or something like that, and just grabbed the microphone and said, you know, Andrew Johnson had the greatest commitment ceremony of all time. So I don't see why people are taking such a big deal to this. Pat knew he wasn't coming, so he retweeted it out. It wasn't nothing personal. The kid obviously had his moments, so leave it be. Who gives a shit? But some people today find some things to be outraged over. Anyways, guys, we got 15 minutes in. Let's see what else we got to talk about today. Heather Like, I watched her video the other day about, you know, day in her life. And good Lord, the energy of that lady. And, just everything. Not just the physical energy of her. It's just the positive energy, all kind of stuff. I mean, you know, she starts out her day at 5 a.m. with a jog, her run, through the snow. Then she gets her celebratory hot cocoa. Then she has, you know, the meetings, whether it's at the Hillman or whether it's with the Chancellor, taking phone calls from Pat Narduzzi. Then more meetings and handing out tassel caps to the students. And then on top of that, she's at the Pitt basketball game talking to everybody. And she's all excited. And then at the end, it shows with the student section. I mean, it's pretty good stuff. I mean, I like the video. I mean, she's obviously very hands-on, and I'm great with that. I mean, she stopped by. It wasn't just the football and basketball. She stopped by the wrestling. Was talking about the tickets there. I mean, her energy's all around, and basically, when she hires these type of coaches, that's what she wants. I mean, she wants that type of energy as well. That's why she brings in Jeff Capel. She brings in Lance White. They have that type of energy that Heather has. And that's what she wants. And, you know, Jeff and Lance are obviously at a big part or a big moment of their first seasons. You know, Lance, obviously, the team finished, I think, 9-5, I think, out of conference. They haven't won an ACC game yet this year. And, of course, Lance has had to deal with some injuries. One girl had to end her college career. He's got his work cut out for him. But I'm just curious how he carries himself throughout the rest of the year. And now Jeff Capel is in a big moment. I mean, Pitt started off winning two of their first three ACC games. They haven't won one yet. And on top of that, they blew a really big one against Wake Forest because, well, the game is 40 minutes, not 39:45 seconds. And that's what happened there. The guy threw the shot up and we assumed it was going to be over. But there was a Wake Forest guy sitting right there waiting for that ball. And he threw it up and boom, overtime. That crushed Pitt. And that was that. They never recovered. I'm not sure what else, you know, Pitt's going to State this weekend, and I'm not sure how that's going to pan out. But yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see how Capel handles the rest of the year. I hope he doesn't go full Stallings and, you know, be disgruntled. These guys, they're coming in, they're fighting all the time. They're fighting as much as they can, and just, you know, sometimes shots will go down, and sometimes they get bad luck. It happens. But the important thing is they're fighting. And, you know, they're giving you a reason to turn on the games. Whereas Kevin Stallings, you have to turn on the games and wonder how many points they were going to lose by tonight. With this team, you don't know what's going to happen. So there's that. So we got that stuff wrapped up for Pitt. NBA free agency hit, and well, not free agency, the trade deadline. Basically, Anthony Davis didn't go anywhere, and people are mad at the Pelicans for what happened. But you know, I can't blame the Pelicans. You know, Anthony Davis is their franchise player, and you don't just freaking give him away. Trading him for like Lonzo Ball is practically giving him away, because Lonzo Ball adds nothing to your team at all. I mean, you already got Jrue Holiday. You don't need freaking Lonzo Ball. But you know, on paper, this before the season began, the Pelicans had a really good team, and they got hit with injuries, and they just fell apart. Last year, they gave the Warriors a run, and it seemed like they were going to be do some damage. It just didn't work out that way. It's sad, but you know, New Orleans isn't a big enough market for Anthony Davis. And of course, he wants to go somewhere bigger, and I'm sure after the season he'll go somewhere. Well, a lot of crazy trades. I mean, I liked what Toronto did with Gasol, and I love what the Sixers did with Harris, because you know, on top of what they have now is Simmons, Embiid, and Jimmy Butler, you add Tobias Harris, a small forward. Part of me thinks that whenever Golden State made the Sixers think a lot about what they were doing, and they said, hey, you know, if we can get, you know, another guy, some more help here, we can make a run in the East, and hopefully if we meet Golden State, we're gonna beat them. But then Toronto gets Marc Gasol, and so you got Lowry, you got Kawhi Leonard, and you got Marc Gasol. And on top of that, you got Ibaka, and you got Pascal Siakam, I think you pronounce it. So Toronto, you know, did a hell of a job too. I mean, they shored up their team, and so I think the East is going to be a pretty. We bashed the East a lot, as far as the NBA goes, but I really like what I'm really starting to like what the East has done. And I think the East is going to be an exciting playoff to watch. I know we love the West, but I mean, check out the East this year. I mean, they did a hell of a job. But, you know, LeBron didn't get the guy he wanted, and I think, you know, he's out the way after this season, and maybe it's a good thing, and I think it will give him more time to play with these guys, and then maybe he doesn't deal them out as much. You know, see what these guys have, and don't just get rid of them all of a sudden. I mean, you're obviously not going to win the title this year, and I'm sure that's what he's trying to do, is deliver at the championship. I just don't think that's going to happen, because the West is just too freaking loaded. But, you know, see what you got here. Don't just freaking get rid of them all of a sudden. And of course, we have the draft coming up. And, you know, not much has come of the Antonio Brown stuff. And I pretty much have muted the Steelers off my timeline. And of course, we got the we're waiting for the Democratic brackets to shore up. But anyway, guys, it's been been a slow day today, and I'm only going to get about 20-some minutes out of this, and really, I don't care. I mean, quality is better than quantity. So, anyways, guys, hell to Pitt. Talk to you later.